Hi, everyone. Welcome to the first edition of the ACS podcast, which we are yet to name, but we'll definitely not be calling Talking Shop. Answers on a postcard if you want to know what we'd like to call it. So for the first podcast, we're delighted to welcome the captain of the ship, James Lohman, our chief executive. Say hi, James.
Hello. Hi.
And also absolutely delighted to welcome Jill Livesey from HIM. If you'd like to say hi, Jill.
Hi.
And Jill, if you could just give us 30 seconds on, for anyone who doesn't know, if anyone in the sector has been living under a rock for the last 10 years, what HIM is and what you guys do.
Yes. Well, HIM, we're a research company. And what we try and do is explain how everyone in the UK are eating, drinking and shopping across the UK. So we research people face to face in stores. We watch them, anything to explain the behaviour we capture to give you a really good barometer of what's happening across UK consumers.
Fantastic. And that's part of what we're talking about today. So we're talking about the Local Shop Report. And for anyone who doesn't know, this is a report that's been going at ACS since about 2012, and it's built every year. And now I think we can all be agreed that it provides a pretty comprehensive view of the convenience sector. And you'll see people all across the sector, from retailers, suppliers, academics, that tend to just carry one of these around with them, and it is the main point of reference. So this year's report, and as of recording, we are a few days before the launch, so this is the sort of first views on the report. James, you've had a chance to look at the report and the findings. What does it overall tell us about the way the convenience sector is right now, the health of the sector, and some of the challenges that retailers are facing?
Yeah, I'm an optimist about the convenience store sector, first and foremost. Now, I think that we're becoming more relevant to consumers' lives. There's lots of change happening in the sector, some of which is tracked in this report. And I think the report backs that up. I think you look at the places where we operate, the growth in sales, the diversification of the range of categories we're selling, the services we're providing, the investments that retailers are making in their business, and the specific things they're adding to their offer. I think that's all really, really positive. The role we have in the community, you know, still, when we ask consumers which type of service has the most positive effect on your local area, convenience stores come out second, and that's consistent every year. And post offices come out first, and most post offices are housed in convenience stores, so we sort of claim that one by default as well. So we're definitely relevant to communities, relevant to shoppers. There are some challenges, and I think the report picks out on some of those, so particularly rising costs, rising employment costs. And what we've seen this year, I'm sure we'll get into a bit more detail, but what we've seen this year is a move towards much more part-time working in the sector. You know, our sector's always been based on part-time, but now we're seeing shorter hours, actually more people working in the sector, but on shorter hours. And I think that's a trend which I would expect to see continue as retailers try to grapple with the increased cost of employing people and running their businesses.
And we'll definitely get into a few of those issues. And one thing that James said, which is really interesting, is about, you know, the value that people place on their convenience stores. Jill, as the expert on consumer views and how people think, do you think that consumers are changing the way they see their local shop?
I'm with you, James. We are big advocates and ambassadors of this convenience sector because it remains one of the most important values for every shopper in the UK. It's about convenience. Help me. Part of my life, my community, my family's life, or just for me if I'm in a single household. So the big positive is nearly every UK consumer will rely on their convenience store. So that's a great place to start. And how they can help people at any time of the day, create a great experience and interaction. All of those values come across really strong in the report, which I think is great. But there are challenges, exactly as we say. Legislation affecting certain categories is affecting footfall, is affecting retailers' income, and that is something that is very, very difficult to react quickly and know how to react. So again, the report tackles those type of issues very, very well.
And as you say, one of the things that I suppose the report does is it delves into these issues about the challenges, but I suppose it also acts as a bit of a myth buster. So one of the things I hear a lot when I talk to journalists is, oh, the march of the big four and the big four in small formats. And that's probably because a lot of journalists are sitting in central London and they see lots of these formats around. So one of the things the report does is actually give a better view of how the sector's made up. And James, it's not all about just multiples everywhere, is it?
No, it's certainly not. And we show a chart at the start of the report where it shows that still 72% of stores in the sector are independently owned. Now that the 28%, the rest, the multiples, that number is growing. It's growing relatively slowly. I mean, I remember sort of 10, 12 years ago, the idea would there'd be no independents left. Clearly not the case. And there'll be independents left in the sector for a long time to come. And in some ways, those independents have got some really positive opportunities going forward. The sort of service that people want locally, the independent is in a great position to tailor that service for their individual community. That's always been the strength of the independent sector. It's that much harder when you've got to have a model that can work across several hundred or thousand plus stores. So I think there's some real advantages for the independents. I should say as well, one of the things we show in the report is the average sales per type of store. And clearly, multiples have the highest sales per store, which you'd expect. And that's why they've made the investments that they have. And I'm worried about, if I'm worried about one thing for independents, it would be those trends on investment. So we used to say that, I mean, we track investments in the report. We used to say an unaffiliated independent retailer makes their investments every year, invests in their store. A single group retailer will invest about double that. And then a multiple retailer will invest about double that. That was a general rule of thumb for the last few years. Now it looks like, yes, single group retailers tend to invest about double what unaffiliated retailers do, but multiples are investing three times that now. So, yes, lots of positive opportunities for independent retailers. I'm certainly optimistic for them. But the running in terms of investment in changing stores to meet those changing consumer needs, that running has been made by the multiple businesses. So, yeah, I'm positive, but I think there's a sort of watch out there we've got to be thinking about.
And when we talk about investment and we talk about innovation, a lot of the headlines are made by the big companies, the Amazons out there, the companies that are really pushing the envelope. But given the majority of the sector is independent, Jill, are you seeing still innovation in the independent sector in those smaller retailers?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the market is fragmented. And as a result, going back to the multiples, they are doing a fantastic job at attracting a younger age group, a more affluent age group. And that's as a result of the investment and the access to wider ranges. So what that means, the pressure on independents and symbols to be innovative and entrepreneurial, that pressure is on, and that requires risk and investment. And Food2Go is the classic example where we are seeing it as a big driver to store, always will be, but people are relying on independents and symbols less for Food2Go. It's not because they don't want it, but, you know, as a retailer, investing in hot food requires education, hygiene certificates, investment, the right people to serve, freeing up space, the support that's required to create a new offer to capture shops. That's really tough. But there are a number of retailers who are taking those risks and it pays dividends and they're doing it much better than others.
And of course, retailers have to take those risks because the pace of change is so fast. And we've seen just in the last few years, to take the example of contactless payment, a massive rise in the number of retailers that now accept contactless payment. So how does the role of technology change in stores? And you know, what are retailers looking to now to say, OK, what's next? Because we've talked about Food2Go and growth and perhaps decline now in Food2Go among independents. If there's an independent retailer that's thinking, okay, I've got to invest, I've got to look at what's next. So what's on your radar, James, about the tech that retailers can actually get? Is it around data? Is it around automation? What should retailers be looking at?
Yeah, so I mean, the slightly glib answer is I think it's all those things. And I think the power of each of those new developments is massively enhanced when they're done together and they're pulled together under one platform so that your electronic shelf edge labels are linked to your till data, are linked to your social media activity, are linked to your cameras checking on availability and tracking customers coming into the store, linked to your self-service till systems. All those things, that the power is in the links between those things, and that's what we haven't yet really seen fully being brought out in the sector. A stat in the report which surprises me is still the very slow growth of self-service tills. Yeah, I think it's only 2% of stores had them, I think. And I think we'll see that change. Whether that's through the self-service tills we see currently in the stores that have them, or whether it's going to be things like mobile payments and other means of payment, because I think different customers want different things in the store. Some want to be in and out as quickly as possible. They're not bothered about any interaction. Some want that quality interaction with members of the team. And I think that stores are going to have to set themselves up to offer people all those options, but also to mean that the staff time and their time as retailers is being used on generating quality in those relationships rather than just conducting transactions that can be done without them.
Yeah, and sort of all of those things you talked about integrating the systems and perhaps automating some of the ordering. We've seen some people bringing in things like electronic shelf edge labels and EPOS systems that track orders as much better. All of that plus self-service is moving towards that, getting more value out of the employees. So when we talk about productivity, often that means employing fewer people for the same amount of work or employing the same amount of people for more work. But actually the quality of that work is really important, and getting people doing things that add value instead of just stocking shelves, when you could have a robot doing that, or you could have some level of automation doing that. I suppose that's really important. And from your perspective, Jill, there is still a demand for interaction with a member of staff that knows what they're talking about and can be friendly.
Absolutely. It's very difficult in a small format store to be everything to everyone. But I completely echo what James says. There is a shopper who wants experience, engagement, interaction and service. But there is a shopper, a younger probably shopper, who will be attracted and motivated if you can provide a payment solution that is in and out and quickly that they are in control of. If we don't invest in that today, we won't attract that shopper today and tomorrow. So yes, absolutely. And really interesting, the massive shift in shoppers who say, opening hours is really, really important to me. So again, going back to the earlier conversation of staffing and family and investment, you know, it presents challenges. But again, these are all hygiene factors.
Yeah.
There's just one more thing on tech I just want to add. I'm remembering the fantastic role that independent and simple retailers play in community. And just going back to social media, it really surprises me that still only a third of retailers are using Facebook and those type of interactions. That is the way that people want to look at you and hear about you now. And I really hope that we see more of this growing quicker and faster.
And that's a really interesting point, because a lot of the retailers are thinking about their cost base and you know, making sure they make the most of the money they're spending. Things like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, I mean, unless you're doing really sophisticated stuff, it's free and you have no limit on the amount of things you can do. But I mean, just going back to cost base, just very quickly, that is a challenge, isn't it? And we talk about, you know, repurposing staff to be able to do more and be able to train staff. But the reality is wage costs are going up, and as a sector, it is becoming more difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as I say, we've seen actually more staff in terms of headcount being employed, but on shorter hours. And that's actually reflective of the whole economy. You know, you look at the overall employment stats, you know, at record employment levels, very, very low unemployment levels. But the concerns that people have are about the security of those jobs, the number of hours they're getting in those jobs. And that's our sector is reflecting that. One of the things that I think we need to play up more as a sector is the offer we have to staff, which is about being local. And, you know, the colleague survey that we do, which feeds into this report, you know, the average journey time to work is 13 minutes. Where people are, and most people walk, obviously some people drive, some people get buses and so on, but I think the average cost is £1.63, without checking the report. So in a way, just the value to you as an individual, if you're spending 45 minutes each way going to a job that pays you £11 an hour and you're spending £5 doing that, and you're walking to your local shop and working there for a job that might pay you £8 an hour, you've actually made more. I haven't done the calculation, but sort of trust me on this one. You actually have made more for the time that you're spending by taking that local job, as well as the social interaction, all the other things that make it a convenient. It's convenient for staff as well as convenient for customers. So I think the quality of jobs in our sector, you talked about that will change, and we shouldn't underestimate that quality that we bring to people's employment in our sector as well.
And I suppose overall, I think when we talk about the number of independents in the sector, the investment that's being made, and even with jobs, I suppose the overall message is the sector is probably in good health because there is that flexibility, there is that ability to change very, very quickly. So I think we'll probably close this off now, because this has been a bit of a whistle-stop tour of the report. Is there anything, any final thoughts either of you have about the report, the sector, anything that surprises you, anything, I suppose, stealing something from your previous chairing at some of the evenings we've had is a, I suppose, a reason to be cheerful?
Yeah, reasons to be cheerful are the convenience sector is relevant to consumers, it's relevant to communities, it's relevant to people who work in our sector. We are extremely important economically and socially. And we haven't touched on the tax contribution, which is a new part of the local shop report this year. You know, we're contributing £3.6 billion in taxes directly and indirectly through our sector. So we should be very bullish about the size and the future potential of our sector. And just one thing to pick up on, it's a point that Jill made and you made about social media and how to interact. You know, if you're a retailer who's not, who wants to engage with their customers and local people who are potentially not their customers, just engage in social media. It's, don't treat it as being complicated or a big process. It's free to do. You can measure the outputs. You can measure how many people are reading tweets or posts or everything else. You know, engage in that and use your personality. You know, don't be afraid of your personality. It's a good thing. And it's something which is going to be the difference between you and your competitors, whoever they are.
And of course, the beautiful thing with social media and hopefully not podcasting, but potentially podcasting, is if it's not very good and no one listens to it, then you haven't lost anything.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't matter. If no one sees it, it doesn't matter. Jill, reason to be cheerful.
Oh, yes. As I said at the beginning, convenience remains a global trend. And that's what's fantastic about our sector. And in the world of technology, Spotify, Netflix, etc., people still want personalisation. So just remember, our convenience stores are future-proof to sit beautifully alongside tech.
Excellent. Well, thanks for listening. This has been a bit of a whistle-stop tour. It's been our maiden voyage on our podcasting journey. You can get all of the information about the Local Shop Report on our website. That's acs.org.uk. It's available to download for free. And please drop us an email address if you would like hard copies of the report or even more information behind the report. The great thing about the way that we put this together is there is reams and reams of information that goes on behind the data, and we can make all that available. So please get in touch with us. And until then, we'll see you next time.